Welcome to Creative Mind Soul Sessions with Deborah Burnt Maldonado and Dr. Rob Maldonado, founders of Creative Mind. Explore personal growth with us through Jungian psychology, Eastern spirituality, and social neuroscience in a deep but practical way. Let's begin. Hello, welcome to our soul session on this wonderful New Year's Day. Happy 2021 to everyone.
Yeah, happy New Year to everyone, especially all our listeners and followers. Thank you for being supportive, tuning in to our work and participating through questions and feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a up and down year. We felt like it was a, you know, really good year for us. But we got a lot done and we got lots of changes, what we're doing. And I love the podcast. It's really exploring a lot of the deep topics and we're going to bring more in 2021. This is going to be the new season, for our podcast Soul Sessions.
Yeah, this is the end of our series on symbols in movies. Mm-hmm. And the Jungian interpretation that we give to it. And, hopefully, next year or this year or 2021, we'll get to do some more of this work.
Mm-hmm. And so today the title is Wonder Woman and the Warrior Archetype. We're going to talk about both movies, Wonder Woman, the one in 27, the original one, and then the one that just came out in 1984. But don't worry if you haven't seen it yet, we're not going to give any spoilers. So don't worry about that. And we'll talk about the psychological aspect of the warrior archetype and the symbol, the iconic symbol that Wonder Woman brings into every little girl's mind and grown-up girl's mind. So I'm really excited to share this. And I think it's a great topic for the beginning of a new year, the idea of the warrior and facing challenges and being the hero of your life and all those wonderful things that we want to create in 2021. But before we start, I really would like to just do a quick visualization for the new year, if ever anyone wants to participate. So close your eyes and take a deep breath and exhale. And let go of all tension. And I want you to imagine that you're walking along a path. And on that path is a doorway. And on that door is written the year 2021. And since we're on the threshold of the new year, a new decade, what we want to do is we want to look back at the past with gratitude, with learning, with a sense of appreciation for who you are and the challenges you face this year. And imagine that you're carrying with you all the wisdom that you gained, all the new awareness that you received. And you're opening up that door into the new year. And as you step through that door, I want you to see just a lot of white, empty space, vastness, pure potential that you don't have to bring past mistakes with you. You can actually create with a fresh mind a new beginning from this higher wisdom you gained from the past. And imagine as you step through 2021, as this path unfolds, see yourself walking along the path, and what would you like to create in this new year? Are there new people coming into your life? New opportunities? More abundance? More love, better health. And And I just want you to just take a moment and imagine you're setting the tone for the new year with your powerful intention. Make it as vivid as possible. Engage the emotion. You may even find yourself physically changing, shifting attitudes, growing even more into your new future. And I want you to think about a symbol that would represent the new year for you, your intention. Hold that symbol in your mind. It can spontaneously arise or you can create it. This is your symbol for 2021. To remind you of who you are and the power you have to create your own destiny. So bring that symbol back with you, wrap it up with powerful emotion, and anytime you need to be reminded of your vision, when things get tough along the way, you can remember this symbol to keep you going, hold your focus, and create your desires. And so when you're ready, come back to the room and open your eyes.
Well, thank you.
The power of the symbol. So now that we're all centered in what we want to create, how do we harness this Wonder Woman archetype and become wonders in our own life? Mm. That's what we're going to talk about. So let's start with the story. The story of the movie, that we're in the movies. Obviously, there's many tales of the Amazon and the warrior, but we're going to focus on the Hollywood version of Wonder Woman. There's a comic book, and then there's the 70s TV show that they had. So a lot of variations of the story.
Yeah, it goes back to the 40s, I think, or 50s, mm-hmm. where somebody kind of had this idea of developing a comic book hero of Wonder Woman. Mm. And we'll talk about the kind of the symbolism and how these iconic symbols play into art and culture, mm-hmm. from the Jungian perspective. Yeah, but the story is fairly basic. I mean, it's a comic book story, which is great, but it's a lot of fun. Mm. It takes a lot of creative liberty with the mythology. Mm-hmm. But that's really how myths work. They don't have a solid structure, mm-hmm. because they're always morphing and changing and adapting to what people need in those different times.
Also, the interpretations, how people see the myth play out, absolutely. Is different for everyone.
Yes. So In the original 2017 movie, mm-hmm. Gal Gadot plays Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. and she's an Amazon, which is, of course, this idea of the Amazons comes from Greek mythology. They were a warlike a tribe of warrior women, mm-hmm. Who were separated. Or separate from civilized society. Mm-hmm. They lived on this island where they trained and kept their culture going.
Mm-hmm. And they were kind of isolated in a bubble where no one could find them.
Yeah.
Hidden away.
That's
but
right.
Their job was to protect humanity.
Yes. And Diana, she rescues this guy named Steve Trevor, mm. who is in the middle of a war, kind of. He's being chased by enemies, and he ends up on their island, kind of by fate. That is the basic kind of plot of the story, or the beginning of it, that Wonder Woman now is going to help in this war effort. But it's
so they were cushioned from the world, and then it took someone to come in from the unconscious, the collective, to enter their world to say, hey, we need your help. And it was a kind of a, in the hero's journey, it's the call to duty.
Yes. In the story, Diana is caught up with this Ares, who is the god of war. And originally, Ares is a proper god of war, very much like the Aztec god, who demands blood. I mean, he's not one of those nice Greek-Roman gods. He's definitely kind of out for blood. You know, he represents that ferocity and destruction of war. And in a sense, he's poisoned humanity in the movie. And part of the work of Diana is to kill this god. And, of course, she's given a special weapon that is left over from Zeus. And the sword itself is called the God Killer. So these special weapons, of course, we recognize them as part of what Joseph Campbell called the hero's journey. That on the hero's journey, the hero needs special weapons, special instruments to aid in their mission, in completing their mission.
And then the second movie, we have 1984, which got bad reviews, and we're not going to give the ending if you haven't seen it yet. The she is now taking on this persona as the anthropologist, kind of in disguise.
Working at the Smithsonian.
Yes, in D.C. And she's mourning Steve, you know, he's gone. And then her friend, the nemesis, is this woman who's kind of awkward, Barbara Minerva. And she's kind of like, we could see her in all of us, this kind of insecure parts of us that kind of awkward and that human self. And the person that's always discarded and doesn't know her own power. And then she wants Diana's power. She wants to become this, just have everything Diana has. And we can all relate to that in our life. We see someone we admire. I want to have what she has. So she could represent that. We're going to get into that later. And then the other part of it was the Dreamstone, which is basically this, totem that people had to ask for their wishes. And we all know this in our life too. We all want to make wishes and use the magic of the gods. The last part of the person, the character is Maxwell Lord, who plays this kind of con man. He's not wealthy. He pretends he is. He has his persona on TV.
That sounds familiar.
I know. I don't know who they're trying to. There's been some real life examples of this. And basically hiding his persona is hiding all the things that are that he knows deep inside, that are off. And also, I think they show early in life, he was trying to prove to his father when he was younger that he was worthy. And so he's still trying to compensate. So there, all these characters are in play. And then this one wish dream totem, they all make wishes on it. And so the first, Diana wishes for Steve to come back. Barbara Minerva wishes for Diane's power. And Maxwell Lord wishes to become the totem, to become the power of the gods. And so it's interesting how that all plays out. And we're going to talk about that psychologically, how that plays out. When we talk about, first of all, let's back up and talk about Wonder Woman as the archetype. One of the things I want to say is that, you know, I really love the work of Toni Wolff. She talks about the four feminine archetypes. And one is the mother type, this kind of, this archetype of the mother that's caring for others, the lover who's after sensual pleasure. And then there's the warrior, which is the Wonder Woman type, and then the mystic or the sage for men, and it's this mystical part of ourselves. And we have all four of them as women, but we're really going to focus on that warrior archetype because I think a lot of women, especially women that follow us, they have big dreams. They want to do something with their life. And so how do we use this archetype and this story of Wonder Woman to apply in our life? Are you looking for a satisfying career that has meaning and purpose? Are you seeking a path of growth and wish you can have it all in one program? Well, our Jungian Life Coach program does just that. It gives you a new career as a certified life coach, as well as take you through our Jungian methodology to help you become your true self and make amazing transformation in your life and the lives of others. So visit jungianlifecoach.com. Click on apply and speak to an enrollment coach today where you can discuss your future, your dreams, and how to make it happen as a Jungian life coach. New classes begin soon, so sign up today.
Well, let's define first kind of what is an archetype and what is a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's important because a lot of people confuse the symbol with the archetype.
Yeah, and so here, going back on Jung's theories, we cannot observe the archetype directly.
Mm.
So the way we surmise...
Because it really doesn't have a form to it.
It doesn't have a form, but many symbols can represent it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say, okay, Diana as Wonder Woman is a symbol of the warrior, the warrior woman. She's pointing to a deeper archetype, which is the goddess of war and the kind of that
hero,
the hero's journey as well. But the her specific iconic symbol, or her as a as an iconic symbol, is subject to change and to morph. And we see this right from ancient Greece to the Romans to present time. The symbol has morphed into different stories in different ways, but it's the same. It's pointing to the same archetype. So that's
the archetype is the bigger idea, and the symbol is how we basically how humans interact with the archetype. And it's just like when we're younger and we're children, everything's connected. We're in the collective unconscious, and then when our ego's created, we start to develop this language that puts everything in name and form, and it makes it something pure potential into something more solid. So that's the way we relate to the archetype. We need that symbol.
Absolutely. So I'm glad you asked that.
Okay, so what is...
Let's say these are the characteristics of the iconic symbols. So iconic symbols, we can think of them as those that reappear over and over throughout history that really hit the spot, right? They trigger everyone's imagination because they're touching upon much deeper archetypal elements in the collective unconscious.
So the savior, the teacher, the guru, the queen, we talked about the queen, all these ideas of the Wonder Woman. and they have such a powerful force. Celebrities have that iconic symbolic iconic of celebrity.
That's right. So number one, these iconic symbols point to larger archetypes or larger principles, universal principles in the collective unconscious. And they participate in the interaction with that archetype. In other words, they give us access to something deeper in the psyche.
So they're a doorway to our deeper self.
Absolutely.
And separate from our ego, because our ego is this human self that is very, it doesn't even have a real solidness to it. It's just this concept of individual I, this individual experience of our collective world. Yeah. And then the symbol has, the ego can interact with it in a way to give it a doorway to that symbol, to the deeper collective and divine powers that we have within ourselves.
Yeah, and here you really see the power of art. So these iconic symbols, the Mona Lisa, for example, everyone recognizes that it's something deeper than a portrait of a woman. Of course, it's the portrait of a woman, but it's an iconic symbol, meaning it hits at a deeper level.
So it has this sort of power in itself that's way beyond the ego, way beyond the persona.
That's right. So that's the first or one of the first characteristics of the iconic symbol. The second one is that it's a deeper, or it opens up a deeper level of reality to us.
So beyond just our personal history and what we've accomplished in our life, it opens up, like I said, that door of opening up to the door of potentiality, that the wide open field to what we can create, and more power than we initially thought of ourselves as an ego.
Yes, and of course, to take advantage of those deeper realities in us, there has to be a corresponding element in the soul that is able to perceive those realities.
So if we could see that iconic symbol, we know we have it within ourselves.
That's right. So if you think about the icons that are used in religion, for example, Jung would say they have this numinous quality, that they transcend the ordinary world and they take us into this dream time, into this deeper reality. But of course, what they're showing us is that there is a corresponding element in us that is capable of going there.
So when you say deeper reality, can you clarify that for the audience?
Yeah, so the Aboriginal concept of dream time is perfect, because there we see it in its most basic and ancient form, that they understood that the world that appears to us as nature is a covering. That there is a deeper fundamental reality behind that. And that to reach that, dreaming and trance states are giving you access to that. And how do you reach those dream states or trance states? Through the use of ritual and symbol. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
And so how has that helped someone in their life?
Well, let's go back to, let's finish the series. So there's three characteristics of these iconic symbols. The third one is this, that these symbols are autonomous. And Jung emphasizes this, that we're not controlling them. So he says, you cannot intentionally create an iconic symbol. So Leonardo da Vinci painting the Mona Lisa.
He didn't say, I'm going to create this masterpiece.
That's right. You can't set out to say, this painting is going to be an iconic symbol.
Although some people do that. They try to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone then says, oh, there's the formula. Let's do it. But it doesn't stick, right?
Well, if you think about John Lennon, right, he was such a icon, this iconic superstar, and then his son had the same name but didn't have that. It's like a quality that was something more, like that you can't force it to happen. So people that want to be famous or that want to be really successful or people who admire you can't manufacture that.
That's it.
If you want to be a symbol of a warrior or of a hero, you can't manufacture that. And in essence, the best heroes are the ones who are reluctant to take on the role, because they know the burden of responsibility that it takes to carry that symbol.
Yeah, so these symbols are born in a sense. Not the archetype. The archetype, we can say, are more eternal.
Mm.
But the symbols, or what represents them and what gives us access to that deeper reality that they represent, they can die.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
They can go into or revert back into the unconscious. Mm-hmm. They can be forgotten, just like we've seen the warrior woman kind of be repressed.
The Amazon just died. And then the movie brought it back to life.
We can say that art, theater, you know, we saw those ancient amphitheaters in Greece. The stories that humans tell, mm-hmm, symbolically bring these symbols back to life,
mm,
that give us an access to that deeper reality.
So even religious symbols like Jesus or Krishna, this, they would have died, or that idea would have died, but people tell the story, and so they align with that image.
Mm-hmm.
And they project it into the symbols. So the symbol of the statue, or the symbol of the cross, or the symbol of the fish, whatever we use as a symbol. But we know that that symbol carries so much more than, oh, that's just a fish. It's like, oh, Christ's energy. It has so much more that you can't physically or verbally explain. So that's the power of the symbol. So when we see Wonder Woman as a symbol, we're seeing bigger, something much bigger than just, oh, that's a woman with superpowers. We're seeing this archetypal divine power that we have in all access to, all of us have access to.
Yeah. And that's the important idea that Jung gives us, is that when we look at culture, we're not looking at just kind of a incidental, haphazard forms of expressing these symbols, that these symbols are arising from the unconscious mind, mm-hmm, and they have a purpose,
mm-hmm,
and they have a very important function to play, but that if we're not aware of them, then they die, essentially, because we're not living them, we're not expressing them to their full potential.
So, or we're using them in the wrong way.
So let's go back, and then you can maybe give me some feedback on how you see the kind of the individual psychology of women,
mm-hmm,
and for example, the women that you work with in your, mm-hmm, coaching practice, how these ideas play into that individuation process.
Mm-hmm.
So the iconic symbols, first of all, point to larger archetypal elements in the psyche. And they help the individual participate in that archetypal, deeper psyche. So how does that play individually? How can this idea help the person that's going through a transformation?
Well, I want to just say that, before we talk about how it can help them, I want to talk about how people misuse it. And the idea that there's a lot out there with archetypes. I'm becoming the hero, I'm the goddess, and all those things. I'm going to, you know, be that archetype. And if you haven't done shadow work, which means that you haven't really understood the personal part of your life, the projections of your ego, of the shadow, you'll take that archetype on as a persona.
Mm.
And so what I saw in the movie, tying it back to the movie to give you a framework, is the idea of Barbara. She basically had access to that archetype of the hero, but was in her shadow. She didn't, you know, like her powerful self was in her shadow. Her persona was this, you know, this weak, nerdy girl that didn't get attention. And so she projected that onto Diana, her power onto Diana. And Diana became the container for that archetype, the symbolic container for her power. And we do this when we fall in love. We do this when we look at a guru or a master or a teacher and we say, they're so amazing and they're so great. And we forget that we have our own power. And then I know for me, when I first started doing my work and I wanted to help the world, I sort of wanted to basically put it on top of my insecure, like instead of like, let's push insecure Debbie aside and let me be this, you know, superwoman and put this like persona up that I knew everything and I was going to help everyone and I'm a good person and I'm, you know, a wise woman and all those things. And when you do that, it actually becomes destructive because you're really inflating the ego with the archetype. Mm. You're not really using it in its true sense. So, word of warning, what happened to Barbara is that her darkest instincts became very destructive for her in the movie. Barbara Minerva, you know, transformed herself into all these dangerous things. She didn't come to terms with her own self that it actually became very destructive. And then she ended up wanting to destroy Diana. So I see this happen a lot, too, with people. They love the celebrity. The celebrity is this icon that people love. And then guess what? They never live up to their, they have a bad day or they get divorced or someone finds out about something they did. And they go, oh, she's fooled me and let's tear her down. And so I see this happen a lot. They build celebrities up. If everyone projects them, they be the container for this larger image and the symbol, and then they tear them down. And
isn't that always the danger with projection? Like
yes.
In relationships that if you idealize the partner
yes.
or the opposite sex, they're always going to let you down because yeah. they're simply humans and the projection is too idealized. It's too over the top.
And I think that's the warning is because I know when people, someone told me once that if you start believing what people say about you, that's the day you're going to die. You're going to lose your business because you really can't, your ego shouldn't take credit for that archetype. The ego is just basically participating and watching like as a passenger while the archetype is acting through you, the symbol. So you can use the symbol, but if you take it on as I am Wonder Woman, I am the wise woman, I am so great, guess what's going to happen? The opposite is going to be pushed away if your ego is using it. And this is what we call what happened with the other guy, Max Lord. He used that power because he felt powerless and he was insecure and he was a failure. And then he used the power and it basically became very destructive. It started destroying his body and everything. So
don't give away the ending.
Yeah, well, but it's like you could be very destructive with it as well. It's called narcissism, where you reflate the ego and then you think you're the great one. You're the one who's healing everybody. You're the one who's changing the world. And so when I work with coaches, I'm always saying don't take credit for the client is doing the result. The client is doing the work. You're just assisting and you're being a guide, but they're doing the work. If you take credit for it, you're also going to take the blame. And so it's a very tricky place to be. And if you ever have a goal in your life, like if you want to be lead a movement or you want to be a best-selling author, or you want to be a coach that helps people, you have to understand the symbol and know that not let your ego take it over, because if your ego inflates, it's going to cause so much stress and anxiety.
So that's the caveat.
Yeah.
So what's the right way to do it?
So the right way to do it is, and I love you and I talked about this, is that the archetype is a bigger than you. It's bigger than this little you, this little ego, and bigger than your persona. It's this universal power. And it's, if you think about the ocean, it's like surfing. You're surfing the wave of the archetype. You're basically letting that archetype lift you, but not identifying that I am this wave and I am this power. You're saying, I'm going to use the force of this powerful iconic image to carry me. And, you know, I think about Brene Brown. She's a, you know, really popular self-help guru now. She's best-selling books. She's like a iconic figure now. But when she started out, she didn't go on to do a TED talk and say, I'm going to be world famous and I'm going to have everyone love me. She was basically very, you know, just taught what she taught. And the archetype itself of the leader and the guru mm-hmm. basically lifted her to that state. So if your ego takes credit, like, I'm the one who created this, I came up with all these ideas and I'm so wise, that's the first sign that your ego's inflated. But if you the archetype carries you, then you're free to ride the wave without being in it taking over your life, and you feeling that identification with it that has all the human fears and insecurities around, and because it does die. There will be a time where people aren't going to put you up on a pedestal anymore. And if you don't have the ground within yourself to realize it was just a projection of others, then you're going to be very sad. You're going to be sad. So the powerful way to do it is that this force is already in there. There's the forces that are already there, and we can use it symbolically, but not identify it with it personally.
Number two, then, the deeper levels of reality. Mm. Kind of this opening up of different opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love Jung's work because what he does is he says that we're not our persona. We're not our ego. We're not our shadow. We're neither. And so that's what I love about the shadow work itself, is you're working on that personal conditioning, the social conditioning that we made early in life. And we're coming to terms with that and becoming more whole, and then we can step into accessing those greater powers in a very balanced way versus a lopsided way. So when we enter those deeper realms, we're entering the realm of the gods. We're entering the realm of power and true power. And that's really beautiful when that happens. We always tell people that you can visualize all you want, but if you haven't done shadow work, you're not going to create that much different in your life. You're going to maybe have a little better results, but once you do shadow work, it opens up a whole new doorway and a whole new possibility for you. So that's what that element that we're accessing. You can't really access it until you can see yourself as whole from a human standpoint. You're not pushing away parts of your human experience. You're actually seeing that as a necessary part of your life, and then accessing something beyond that, that you're not just what happened to you. Mm. You're free to become who you're meant to be.
So would you say then the entrepreneur woman or the business woman is accessing the symbol, the iconic symbol of the warrior, to get in touch with the deeper archetypal divine feminine?
Mm. Well, if you think about it, what makes someone a famous teacher or a famous leader in the world, politician, someone who runs a movement, iconic figure like RBG? She didn't just go her life going, I'm going to harness this, you know, warrior archetype, because she was a warrior too. But she was just doing basically what she was called to do. She wasn't letting her ego drive it. Mm. She was just, and basically in a way, she was doing everything against the ego, which the ego would say, be quiet, don't rustle the feathers, don't go to law school, because there aren't any women that go to law school. She basically broke, kind of put her ego aside, was ready to sacrifice her ego to do the bigger purpose. And when you do that, the archetypes now serves you. So there's this idea in the movie about the sacrifice. In the first movie, Steve sacrificed his life for the humanity to, you know, they were going to do this mustard gas, and he flies up and he needed to sacrifice himself. That's the hero. Then he has this iconic hero image. I'm not saying we all have to do something that destructive, but when we talk about sacrifices, what are you not willing to give up to have the live your purpose? What is your ego saying, you know, I want to be famous, I want to put my videos out on YouTube, but I don't want people to criticize me. Or I want to put this book out, but I want everyone to love it. I want to have a business, but I want it to be successful overnight. I don't want to fail. And so it's in those little things that we can relate to in our ordinary life. How do we let go of our ego and for that higher purpose, for our mission? And then when we do that, the archetype will naturally lift us up. Will naturally give us the power we need. But if we try to do it with our ego, we're operating in a very limited, fearful, and hesitant way. I don't think we really can truly do that, do our duty with the ego in the way. And I know for me, it's it was more compensating for initially I was trying to compensate, like I wanted to be famous and I wanted all these things. And then after I did the shadow work, I realized these things aren't that important. What I do and doing what I love is important. It's not about Debbie and me being put up on a pedestal anymore. And I think that's like why I have a great relationship with you too, because we don't project onto each other like, oh, you saved me, you're my hero. I mean, we kind of do in a way, but it's a different level. It's not, you have to rescue me all the time from my terrible life. That container that we place on people, you're going to be the container of all my power. And I see this a lot in the coaching industry. I've been in the coaching industry for 17 years. That a lot of leaders, unfortunately, they give all their power to their people, their clients, and then they end up not able to keep boundaries, not charge for what they want, feel afraid to speak up and say things that are a little more controversial because they're afraid of what people think, and they limit their success because the ego's in the way of them, and then they're not owning that power in a true sense.
So we could say the warrior symbol, the iconic warrior symbol of a woman, plays into relationships. It plays into success, the way she does her business.
Well, I think one of the things that was very important in the movie too is this question that the warrior has to face when we think about the four feminine archetypes. The warrior's choice. Of duty over love. And so a lot of women think that if I go for my goals, I can't have a relationship. Or I can't go for my goals because I have a family right now. And so there's that conflict I see in the modern woman of, I can't be a warrior and at the same time go home and, take care of the kids. And how can I balance those ideas? And this idea that we do have to sacrifice it's not that we have to sacrifice our personal life, but we have to be willing to not let that get in the way of our success. You can have both. Do you feel that that's common too? I mean, I think people, I talk to a lot of women that do our coach training, and they think they're putting their relationships, dating on the side while they're pursuing their career, and then I'll worry about dating later, or I'm going to worry about my career later, and I just want to focus on finding a partner. And there's always that conflict. And then I see a lot of people in the coaching industry, they are married and they've been married for a while. They leave the corporate world and they want to be a coach, and then now the husband they're with isn't growing with them, and so there's that other conflict of that relationship ends, and so what do we need to sacrifice, and do we need to sacrifice things? And that's really a personal decision. We have to be clear on why we're doing it, and is it in the way or is it not in the way? Is it just an excuse?
Yeah. And then the third element of this this autonomous power, Jung talks a lot about this, that we're not really controlling the archetypes. It's not like people talk about kind of putting on the mask of the wise woman or the divine woman and being the teacher and just doing it that way. That it has more to do with a relationship with the unconscious mind. And then those powers, just like the ancient Greek gods, they intervene in your life, and in culture and in human affairs, but you don't really have full control of them. You're kind of still hoping that it works your way, but it's more like you were saying, the surfer on the wave, using the power of these elemental forces to ride that wave, to kind of maneuver that power.
It's this idea of support, that the wave is supporting the surfer. And so when you're having this this autonomous, powerful idea of an archetype arising and using you, It is building that relationship. It's, you know, we can symbolically communicate. We have active imagination exercises that we do in our training to work with the archetypes. But you're not directing the archetype and saying, you need to be this way. It's more of a relationship. And it really is that when I say sacrifice the ego, you're letting go of your own personal agenda and allowing it to arise. If you think about the collective unconscious, it's full of wisdom. It's been in every situation and every dimension of time. So you're really tapping into your deeper wisdom when you allow it. And I think a lot of times we want things to happen faster than they do. We feel like we know it better. I never do that. we feel like we know the right way that things should unfold. We are so attached to how the outcome looks that we forget to allow the support of our deeper selves, the archetypal universal powers within us, to carry us. And it's a lot less work. It's a lot less work to let that happen. But the ego does have a tendency to want to take all the credit and to inflate itself. So we always have to watch. That's why shadow work is so important, because once we do the shadow work, your ego is less, has a less tendency for inflation, because you've already dealt with all the things that you're pushing away that the archetype would compensate for. So if you're feeling like that Barbara Minerva, feeling a little insecure, and you're saying, I want to be Wonder Woman, it's going to be destructive. But if you kind of come to terms with those aspects that you don't feel good enough, or you don't feel like you have something to offer, those self-doubts that we all have, and think that other people are better than us, and, you know, that kind of putting people on pedestals, we start to say, really see ourselves as, oh, that's not even real. Then you don't have to worry about the archetype becoming inflated, because you're not even, you know that your ego isn't really real. And that's, I think, the beauty of it. And it's hard to do intellectually, and I think it's really, really important for people to realize that having a coach that knows this work is going to change your life in such powerful ways. And a lot of people try to do it on their own, try to do the quick fix. In the beginning of the movie, of the second movie, they show the little girl taking the shortcut.
All right.
And she's like, I'm going to take the shortcut to win. And I think a lot of us want to take the shortcut because we do want the things we want in our life. But when we take shortcuts, there's a price. We don't know the whole truth, and we have to know the truth about ourselves so that we can use those powers. And we need to know who we are so we can really direct our life in a powerful way.
The shortcut would be something like spiritual bypassing.
Spiritual bypassing, tapping things away, clearing things out of the way, rejecting parts of ourselves. Mm. I don't like that angry person. I don't like that. For me, I remember one time, very early on, just before I met you, I said to my coach at the time, I said, I really hate that part of myself that's insecure. Mm. And she said, why don't you love that part of yourself? And I was like, oh, I never thought of that. You know, we want to push away those parts, and that's what creates the shadow, is that we don't want to be that person, but that energy doesn't go anywhere. You can't clear that away. You have to integrate it. And that's the difference between Jung's work and other work, is that we want to integrate. We want to take it, pull it all back together, come back to wholeness, not fragment ourselves to only the things we like about ourselves and all the things that are acceptable. Because that's what we did in the early part of life. So we're just rearranging the furniture.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think you can't do it on your own, because the ego is so clever. It will tell you that you're better than you're done, and let's go to the shortcut. It's always looking for that shortcut, but it knows that shortcut's going to lead you back to the same place, and you're not going to get anywhere. And so the ego is very clever, and that's why you need someone who's gone through the shadow to coach you through your own shadow. So they know, it's like they know the path, like the string of Penelope. She had the string to get the hero out of the maze. It's like you need someone to help you through the maze. You have to go through the maze yourself, but you need someone who's been there so they could say, oh yeah, I this is where you're tripping up here. This is where you're going to that dead end again. And that's what a coach does. It helps you redirect you. It's not about healing you. It's about redirecting you to know who you are and see yourself as you truly are, the Wonder Woman that you are. On a deep level.
Yeah. You know, thinking about the warrior woman symbol, maybe think about the individuation process for all of us, I mean, it's an intense period of transformation. Mm. But I've noticed that in women, a lot of times it boils down to the symbol of the mother, which of course is this more complete divine woman archetype.
Well, the divine woman has the mother in her, and if you look at Diana in the movie, she cares for mankind, so she's the mother of the world, like kind of like Mother Nature's, like taking care of mankind. She's the lover; she has the romantic love and heart and emotion. Mm. Mm-hmm. And caring, and she has the warrior, but she also is the mystic. She's wise. She has understanding of philosophy and knows how to harness the deeper powers and knows the wisdom of the gods. So she really is that, not only just the warrior, she is the divine woman, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I think this kind of understanding, because you know, right now worldwide, women are waking up in mass, and it's continuing to expand. Right, women entering the workforce, becoming entrepreneurs, becoming coaches. A psychology of this kind of in really deep transformation is so important. Mm-hmm. And Jung left us kind of a general blueprint of the psyche, but not specifically. What is the difference between the individuation process for a man and what's the difference for a woman? So I think working with some of these symbols gets at that. What is really happening on the road to get there?
Yes, and I think for me as a woman, I've read a lot of books, Jungian women that wrote books, and a lot of it is based in therapy. So there's this idea of like traumas and wounds and, you know, it's really, really focused on completing your personal stuff and not really a lot about creating, about really what do we want to do with our life? Let's analyze why we hate our mother. It's more about how do we create? How do we move? How do we create? And maybe there are some, but it's been really hard to find. So that's why I'm so glad we're bringing this work to women and men, really see that there's so much more than just the personal unconscious. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to us than just what happened to us in this life. We're sitting on the ocean of this powerful forces that we can ride like the surfer. And I don't know how to surf, so I know how to surf the consciousness, but I don't know how to surf in the ocean. But if you think about the power of the ocean and it has its kind of an energy of its own. And that's the archetypal work, the collective, that we all have access to. And I want to leave with one note about heroes and women, is that when we think about an iconic symbol, when we think about the Wizard of Oz, and everyone's seen that movie, Dorothy, the hero of the story, was seeking this great, powerful Oz to help her get her back to where she needed to be. And so finally she sees this Oz and he has the projection, which I thought was really cool. He actually was a Jungian, the guy who wrote that story. The projection of this icon, of this Oz at all whole city. He's the great powerful Oz. But then behind the curtain is this little scared old man. We don't want to have that. And the lesson at the end was, you've had it all with it. You had the power within you all along, Dorothy. She had it in, she was in it. Her shoes. Like it was in her shoes. And so my message to you for this year is you already have, no matter what happened to you, no matter terrible things happened to you, all the setbacks that happened in 2020, we are riding the wave of this powerful force of who we are. And it's our duty to find out who that really is. We're not defined by the things that happen to our life. We're not defined by our size, our weight, or how beautiful we are, how young we are, how successful we are. We're so much more than that. And so that's my message today, is we're all Wonder Women. and we need more women to step out and empower others to live their purpose and stop rearranging the furniture and trying to get stuck in the past and over processing everything and really moving forward in a coaching model that helps people reach their potential.
So you're going to bring back the race of Amazons?
I'm going to be the Amazon queen. And yes, and actually, and Toni Wolff called the warrior the Amazon. That was her name for the warrior. And we call it the professional. And we do have a test if you're a coach, how to find out what archetype your default is. It's a more of a persona type. The archetype has taken over the role that you're playing as a woman. And then you, how do we become more complete and more whole as a woman so that we can really access these, like you said, the deeper parts of our soul that are ready for us to use and work with so much more. Our superpowers.
Yes.
So great talk today. I hope this kicked off your new year to a great start. We'll see you next week on our next soul session, which is actually going to be on Friday because we have another training on the 8th. So they'll either be Fridays or Saturdays here on YouTube. And on our podcast, don't forget to subscribe if you're listening to us on iTunes or Spotify or those other plethora of podcast hosting services. Make sure you subscribe to Soul Sessions.
Yeah, we're thinking of doing a series on the psychology of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned. Thanks for joining us. Happy New Year. Stay well, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, take care. And for you guys out there, you're Wonder Men as well. So you just take it the same way. Take care, everyone. Have a great, wonderful day and a great new year. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe to Creative Mind Soul Sessions and join us next week as we explore another deep topic where you can consciously create your life with Creative Mind Soul Sessions. See you next time.